Hey, I'm excited about today's message from the Word of God. And the guitar players, y'all aren't going too far away, are you? You're not going too far away. Remember that. Y'all going to quit on it? Y'all about trying to quit? All right, you better sit down and go very far. All right. Anyway, today's our last message in the series, the little summer series we've called Jesus Said, Get Into the Boat. Right in the Bible, Jesus said, get into the boat. It's right in the Bible, Jesus said, take the boat out. Right there. That's it, man. So guys are in good shape, amen. Get in the boat and take the boat out. Been looking at some messages about Jesus and water and people that were around the water, on the water. Had to do with events that happened there. And today is our final message in this little series. We do a reminder, we still have some t-shirts. We print up t-shirts occasionally. It has fellowship on it, has logo and different things on the back. And it's not just to go along with the series. They're good at any time to share the gospel and to reach out to your world. Amen? So today, the title of this message is My Boat, His Vessel. Can you say that with me? Come on. My Boat, His Vessel. Might be your boat. But if you're a Christian, you His vessel. Amen? But sometimes that old boat gets a little worn and weathered and tattered and torn. But I'm telling you, you still belong to Jesus Christ if you name His name. Just a couple of things off the bat this morning. Today I want to speak to you of guilt. I'll talk to you about feeling unworthy. Feeling useless for the Lord's work. Feeling dirty. You ever felt dirty before? Dirty because you failed the Lord. You've made a choice. You've done something. Yeah, it was wrong, but you did it. You just went down that path. And now you feel dirty because of past failure. I'll talk to you about that today. This is how I believe the disciples were feeling in John 21. If you have your Bible, we'll make our way to John 21 today. If you don't have your Bible, we're going to be up on the big screen. We always have the Word of God on the screen. But that does not take the place for you having your Bible, reading your Bible, having your daily time with the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. Amen. You need to have that daily time in the Word. This is how the disciples were feeling, I believe, in John 21. Jesus was already resurrected. Peter had denied Jesus Christ three times. The Bible tells us they all forsook Him and fled. Right. Except John was there, right? With his mother at the cross. And so this whole bunch were feeling pretty yucky, you know what I'm saying? And feeling, you know, like failures. This is what I believe when I read John 21. Seems like every year I preach John 21 sometime. It's one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. Because I think all of us know what it feels like to feel guilty, to feel ashamed, to feel dirty sometimes, and just feel like we can't do anything for God. And Satan just attacks us in this area. Even though we've asked for forgiveness, we still feel this way many times. I believe this is how they're feeling. Let's keep moving. John 21, 1 through 3. That's what the Bible says. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again. He was resurrected to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee, or the Lake of Galilee. It's just a lake. It's only about 6 miles by 13 miles big. And on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of His disciples. That's why we believe at least 7 of the 12 disciples were fishermen. Because 7 are mentioned here. We believe 7 of the 12 at least were fishermen. Verse 3, Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. And look what happened. They went forth, they entered into a ship. The word is boat. They didn't have big ships, just a boat. Immediately, and that night they caught what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Didn't catch anything. Peter said this. Can you say that with me? I go a fishing. You know, a lot of times I say that. I'm going fishing. That's a good play, right? I'm going fishing. Where you going? I'm going fishing. I don't believe he said it like that. I believe he said it with the head down. I go a fishing. I'm going back to what I used to do. You ever done that before? Head down. You ever had your head down? Yes or no? Head down. Cause of past failures, sins, guilt, problems in your head down. I go fishing. I'm just going to get into my boat. My boat. I'm going to go back to my boat. Do what I can. I'm going to do it in the flesh. I'm going back to living life like I know how to live and do what I can do. You know why? Here's why. Because that fishing for men stuff, Peter talking, It requires me being empowered by God. It requires me being empowered by God, and guess what? I just ain't feeling it. I just ain't feeling it. I denied the Lord 3 times. In His very darkest hour, I denied Him. So I'm just going fishing. Now, Peter had already seen the resurrected Lord at least twice. He appeared to the disciples 2 other times. And according to the scriptures over in 1 Corinthians, and I believe in Matthew, maybe 26, it looks as if Jesus appeared to him even another 2 times. So it could be 4 times Jesus has appeared to him. But this is still dogging him and bothering him. Peter is feeling guilty. I'm feeling unworthy. I'm not feeling very useful. That's why I go fishing. I feel soiled. I feel stained. I feel scarred. I'm scared. I'm scared of failing again. Because I failed in the past. So I'm just going to go fishing. I wrote a song a little while back, never put it to music. And I got these fellows right here, and they're going to help me. And this might be sort of how Peter was speaking. Fellas, we sure didn't get a chance to practice. I wish we had. That's because Mark's been talking too much. I was sailing on life's journey, and things were going fine. But then something tragic happened and broke this heart of mine. Now my ship is all battered, and my sail is torn. Can you help me with this matter? What can I do in the midst of my storm? He said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Encourage yourself by praying and reading His holy word. Commit yourself and say, Lord, it's You this day I will serve. Then rest in His promise and know all things work together for Your good. Well, sometimes this life brings trouble. We've pined so hard today. Don't think we could make it without Jesus being there. But He said He'd never leave you, nor forsake, nor ever fail. With His hand He'll gently lead you, and by His grace, my friend, you can sail. So humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Encourage yourself by praying and reading His holy word. Then commit yourself and say, Lord, it's You this day I will serve. Then rest in His promise and know all things work together for Your good. Under the mighty hand of God, encourage yourself by praying and reading this holy word. Commit yourself and say, Lord, it's You this day I will serve. And rest in His promise and know that all things work together. Rest in His promise and know that all things work together for Your good.
Amen.
So maybe that's how Peter was feeling. You know? Let's look at it today. So he's feeling that way. I go a-fishing. But I want to tell you something this morning that's coming up on the screen right there. Can you say that with me? Then came the morning. Say it, come on, I need help. Then came the morning. You're hearing me today. I go a-fishing. And maybe you're feeling today dirty. You're feeling soiled. You're feeling stained. You're feeling starved. You're feeling scared today. I failed. I've messed up. I've asked you to forgive me, but I can't forgive myself, for crying out loud. Let me say something to you. Then came the morning. I hope it's morning here for some of you today. Amen? And that's my prayer for you today about this message. Let's go down to the scripture again. Let's pick it up. And I usually preach right in through here a good bit. But we're going to read through this, and we're going to get to another little part that I really feel like the Lord's laid on my heart. Verse 4. But when the morning was now come. Amen? The morning was come. The morning was come. Boy, yeah, we have trouble. We make mistakes. We flub up. Let me tell you something. But hallelujah, the morning comes. Amen? When the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't know it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have you any meat? Have you caught anything? They answered him. Worst question you ever asked a fisherman. Right there. Worst question. Caught anything? What'd they say? No! That's what I'd have said. If I ain't caught anything. Don't talk to me when I ain't caught no fish. There we go. That's not a good feeling, is it, guys? Say, huh. I don't like that. Verse 6. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship. On the other side. Cast on the right side, right over there. And you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Unbelievable. They worked all night. These were pros, man. They didn't catch a thing. But he told them where to cast. They caught all kinds of fish. Verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, most likely John, said unto Peter, It's the Lord. I mean, we've seen this kind of stuff happen before, Jack. You know what I'm saying? That's the Lord. They didn't know who it was. And now when Simon Peter heard it, look at it. He girded his fisher's coat unto him. This is always interesting, for he was naked. Oh, boy. And he cast himself into the sea. I personally believe that means he was just fishing in his skivvies. You know what I'm saying? In his skivvies. I believe that's what the scriptures bear out there. Okay? So don't let that wreck your world. All right? Here we go. And he cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship. For they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. Verse 9. As soon as they were come to land, they saw what? Say it with me. A fire of coals. Keep reading. And fish lay there on. And bread. Jesus said unto them, Bring the fish which you've now caught. Simon Peter went up and he drew the net to land full of great fishes. 153 of them suckers. For all there were so many, yet the net was not broken. Verse 12. Jesus said unto them, say that with me. Come and... You mean Jesus will talk to people like that, that have sinned? People like that, that have betrayed him? People like that, that have failed him?
Yeah.
You know, I've told you many times, all Jesus has to work with on this planet is sinners. Did you hear me say? We're all messed up. We've all made mistakes. We've all flubbed up. But that's what he said to him. Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Because guess what? They knew who it was. They knew that it was the Lord. Jesus then comes and he takes the bread. He gives it to them and he gives them fish likewise. And so that's the story. That's what happened. Here he was. This group going out fishing. I believe depressed, going back the old way. Just especially Peter. And look at what the Lord did. And let's learn something from this. Let's keep moving with the scriptures. I want to encourage you today in the area of guilt and feeling unworthy. Let's keep looking. This was the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples. The third time, according to the scriptures. Look at the next verse. Verse 14. This is now the what? Third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. But it is very possible that he also already appeared two other times to Peter. According to 1 Corinthians 15, check that out sometimes. I think Matthew 26, I could be wrong there though. So check that out. But anyway, I really want to focus on Peter. It seems to be the one, he's the leader, he's the one maybe having the biggest problem here, and that's who I want to hone in on this morning. There is no doubt that Peter received forgiveness of the Lord. He denied it how many times? Somebody tell me. How many? Three times. Okay? But there's no doubt that Peter received forgiveness of the Lord. I mean, he had already, remember when he heard the news that he was resurrected? He ran! Remember? And so there have been other times that Jesus had appeared to him. So there's no doubt that he had received forgiveness from the Lord. Keep moving, Rod. So that's not even in question here. We're not even questioning that he had been forgiven by Jesus Christ. But Peter hadn't forgiven himself. Are you hearing me? Peter hadn't forgiven himself. I firmly believe this. And ask yourself that. If you would have denied Jesus Christ when he was hanging there on that cross,
And you're warming your hands over here with those that have killed him. You're cursing him that you never knew him. You think that's something? Well, I pray in Jesus' name. I could get over that. You think you're going to get over that pretty quick? I don't think so. If there's things that dog us still today. So Peter just hung on like a heavy weight. He hadn't forgiven himself. And I believe it dogged him. Dogged him. Only see him. Dogged him. On him. Everywhere he went, it bothered him. But let's keep moving. But Jesus Christ had a tremendous purpose for Peter to accomplish. He had purpose for Peter. And let me tell you, friend, when you're just overwhelmed with guilt, I'm talking about you confessed your sin. I'm talking, yeah, you messed up, but you've asked the Lord to forgive you, and He has forgiven you. He's cast it, like Terry said, from as far as the east is from the west. He's saying, just like Rebecca said, He can mend those fences. He can be the rainbow's end. He can do all that for you. But we don't let Him because we just don't know how, maybe. Okay? But He had tremendous purpose for Peter. What did He say to Peter? He said, Peter, upon you I'll build this church. Upon this rock, Petros, I'll build this church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Boy, it don't sound like this rock was doing much. You hear me? So there was a problem. So Peter needed help because he was hurting. You been there, say. Y'all talked to me. Y'all been there before? Hurting? Can't do nothing hardly? Listen. And we need help. We need help. We need help. Jesus wants to help you. That's what the body of Christ is here to do, to help you, to encourage you. You come in here, you ought to get encouraged.
Amen.
And I can't do it all. And I don't do a good job at many times. But we need to work together, encouraging one another. Let's keep moving. Go pick up the pace just a little bit, Roger. Look at how Jesus dealt with Peter. This is very important. I want you to look at how He dealt with him. So he was in that boat. He was fishing. Hadn't caught a dime's worth of nothing. Jesus is on the shore. He has a fire with coals. He has fish there. And he's got bread. Let's look at how Jesus dealt with him. First of all, He gave Peter a chance. He gave Peter a chance. Okay? Listen. A chance to do what? A chance to dry off. You see it? Gave Peter a chance to dry off. He got to the shore. Man, I tell you what. You know, when you swim like that, it's chilly. That water was probably chilly. That's a lake, man. He gets there, gives him a chance to dry off. Isn't that nice when you get wet, you get you a nice towel? You dry it off. Look at the second thing. He gave him a chance to get warm. There's that fire. Obviously, it was cold. They had a fire there, but also he was cooking on the fire. Probably a little chilly. So he's getting warm. He gave Peter a chance. He gave him a chance to get some food, get fed. Here you go, buddy. That doesn't sound like somebody's disappointed in him, does it? Sounds like somebody loves him.
Yeah.
Let him dry off, get warm, get fed. Look at this. And to get some fellowship. Get some fellowship. Here's the other boys, the dudes from the boat. They're on the shore. Everybody's there now. They're hanging out. Nothing as good as fish and hush puppies and stuff like that. Am I right or what?
Right.
Come on. Fresh fried fish like that. Now, they probably did it another way, but still, if we had it, we'd be fried, all right? But anyway, I mean, that's a good time. I can forget about a lot when I'm eating fish. You hear me? So anyway, so here they are. And that's how He dealt with them. He gave them a chance. Did you know what? Jesus Christ loves you today.
Yeah.
He wants to give you a chance.
Amen.
We get this idea in our head, I can't do this or I can't do that. What you mean? You can't dry off. You can't get warm. You can't get fed a little bit. You can't have a little fellowship. That's what we need to make sure that we have in this place when people come in here. You don't need to just hang out with who you hang out all the time. You need to get out. You need to move a little bit. You need to realize that's part of the Church of the Living God. That's part of being Spirit-filled. We talked about in our first service is submitting yourselves and reaching out to other people. That's part of the Spirit's filling. Well, I thought it was this or that or the other. It's reaching out, talking to people, loving people, caring for people.
Amen.
They need that. So let's see what happened. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're feeling this way. Maybe you're feeling all wet today. Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You're just blowing smoke up there. You don't know a clue what I've been through. Listen, maybe that's how you're feeling today. Number two, maybe you're feeling extremely cold today. I mean, you read the Word, you hear the Word, it just doesn't do anything for you. I'm just dead in the hammer. I'm just not getting it, man. I'm just cold. Maybe today you're feeling malnourished spiritually. You just haven't heard the Lord talk to you in a long time. You're just not feeling fed spiritually. And then finally, maybe you're feeling lonely today and isolated because of guilt, because of past experiences. We want to be a help to you today. God's Word can help you and strengthen you. Let's keep moving. Jesus Christ wants to help you. Let's move it, Rod. If you're feeling guilty, ashamed, unworthy, soul stained, scarred, and scared, if you're feeling that way today, listen. Jesus Christ is patient and tender. I'll look at a couple of scriptures right quick. One of my favorite scriptures is Revelation 3:20. He stands at your heart's door and knocks. Jesus loves you today. He's patient and tender. He's not like me. Are you hearing me? Many times. And He's not like you. People foul up. People flub up. We won't ever forgive them, will we? Say.
Right.
Kids will forgive, but as adults, we just keep hanging on to it. And I do that. I hang on to it. It's my fault. It's my sin when I do that.
Yeah.
But Jesus isn't that way. He stands at your heart's door knocking. Look, look. Knock, knock, knock. You don't know, man. I screwed up. I messed up. I fouled up. He goes, knock, knock, knock. If any man will hear my voice and open that door, I'll come in and sup with him just like He did Peter. Ate that fish, huh?
That's good.
And he with me. God wants to do that for you. He's tender. Jesus loves you today, no matter what you've done. Let's look at another scripture. He says, come unto me in Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly of heart. You can find rest for your souls in me. My yoke is easy. Say that with me. My burden is what? Light. Jesus loves you today. But you know what? Satan wants to keep you bound. Are you hearing me today? Did you know last week I spoke about the devil? Remember that last week spoke about the devil? Did you know I felt really oppressed when I was talking about Satan last week? I didn't think he liked it. And did you know what? Sunday night, my truck was robbed. And also my wife's car, which was inside our house. I just thought that was odd. All we had was some money in the ashtray, about $15. She had probably $10 in her car. They took that. That was all they took. And, you know, and I thought that was funny. Here I talked about the devil last week, and boom, I get robbed. Didn't I say last week, he's a thief?
Yeah.
He comes to steal, to kill, destroy. He'll rob you. I said it last week, man, rob me. You know what I mean? Guess what? Only got $25. That's all he got, baby. That's all he got. That's all he got. See, Jesus Christ is where it's at, my friend. He loves you in pieces. He cares for you. But Satan, he wants to rob from you. He wants to steal from you. Because you've had past problems, he wants to steal any joy that you have, any peace you have, any hope that you have of serving him. And get your head up! He wants to steal that from you. But that's not Jesus. Jesus didn't shed his blood. So when you mess up, you're finished. You're toast. You're history. He didn't do that. He shed his blood to cleanse you from sin, and His blood cleanses you continually from sin.
Right.
Because, by the way, in case you were just smoking something lately, you still sin all the time. Did you hear me?
Right.
We still sin. We still make mistakes. We still don't do things we should do. We do things we shouldn't do. We still don't make mistakes, but Jesus loves you. Let's keep moving. So when they had dined, and we're getting somewhere, there's some practical stuff, so hang in here with me. So when they had dined, verse 15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, he gets one-on-one now, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said unto him, then feed my lambs. Let's look. Peter was dry, he was warm, he was filled, he had been befriended. My boat, his vessel. See, I think that's the deal right here. That's the deal. See, Peter said, I'm going to get back in my boat. My boat. I think that's where we get in life sometimes. When we fail, when we struggle, we sort of take back our life from God. Don't we? Say, we take it back. We take it back. Not so much that we don't want to serve Him anymore, but it's just like, we're not worthy to serve. I just get in my boat. But you know what God says? Nah, hello. You ain't just your boat anymore, baby. You're my vessel. You're my vessel. You belong to me. Isn't it great that we got a God like that?
Amen.
The Bible says that Jesus is at the right hand of God doing what? Making intercession for us. Can you even fathom that Jesus died on the cross and now He's at God's right hand praying for you? Isn't that crazy? He's given us the Holy Spirit to teach us to pray, to live with us. Because what? It's not your boat anymore, hallelujah. Amen? That's what you need to know today. If you fouled up, messed up, guess what? Yeah, you got an old scrape down that side. But God can fix that sucker, amen?
Good.
You can float again, baby. You can do some stuff again. It's His vessel. So He's going to deal with Peter right here. Here He goes. He got one-on-one with Peter. One-on-one. The other guys were still there. They were in earshot. You can read the rest of the passage and you can find that to be true. John 21:15. He got one-on-one. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Peter, do you love me more than these? He said unto him, yes, Lord, you know I love thee. He said, then feed my lambs. Let's look at something. Do you love me more than these? Have you ever thought what that means? So, when Jesus said that to him, Do you love me more than these? What does that mean? Here's what I think it means. Does it mean these fish? Do you love me more than these fish? And that might be something he'd say to me. But I don't think that's what he was saying to Peter. Do you love me more than these nets? Do you think that's what he was saying? No, sir. I don't think that's what he meant. After studying this passage and looking a little closer, here's what I think he meant. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me, Peter, as you claimed more than these other guys loved me? Amen. Do you love me as you claimed more than these other guys loved me? Now, why do I say that? Let's look. Here we go. Peter boasted over in John 13, 37. Here's what Peter said. Listen to me. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? Say it with me. I will what? Lay down my life for your sake. Sound like a little bragging going on, doesn't it? Look at this verse. Look at what he said. He actually said this. Matthew 26. Peter answered and said unto him, though what? All men shall do what? Be offended of thee. What's this? Yet will what? I never be offended. See, this is the thing that really bothered people. How would you feel? I mean, really, if you would have said to everybody, all your friends and everybody, everybody else will leave you, but I'll never be offended. I'll never quit. How would you feel that when you did it and you're still hanging out with these dudes, would you just might lose all those friends and not even show your face again? So, probably. And that's how he's feeling. He's feeling, look, he boasted so much. Do you love me more than, as you claim more than these? It's something to think about. Think about it. Peter believed that he loved the Lord more than the other disciples did. Have you ever met somebody in church that felt that way? So, I've met a lot of them. I literally have met Christians over my tenure serving as a pastor that thought they loved Jesus more than other people in church loved Jesus. Is that stupid or what? That is nuts. But it happens. This is dangerous to any of us when we think this way. Well, I love Jesus more than you love Jesus. You are a nut. You know what I mean? Don't even go there. All I know is I don't love Jesus enough. Amen. All I know is I need to love Him more. And quite frankly, how much you love Jesus doesn't affect my life. Really, you know what I'm saying? I need to worry about me and how much I love the Lord. But Peter boasted like that. I love Jesus more than you guys. I think he felt it. Here's what the Bible says. Look at this kind of thinking. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. If you want to fall, start thinking you love Jesus more than everybody else. Look at this. You know what I call this? I call this the 10-12 twins. The 10-12 twins of 1 and 2 Corinthians. 10-12 twins. Can you say that with me? You need this. 10-12 twins. One more time. 10-12 twins. What do I mean? Very rarely do you ever see in two books of the Bible the same exact verse in both books that almost mean the same thing or they go together. Okay? So here's 1 Corinthians 10:12 and 2 Corinthians 10:12. Let's look at this one. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he what? Fall. Now look at the system here. 2 Corinthians. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. And this is what Peter was doing. Full of pride, thinking he stands, comparing himself with the others, and it left him in a bad way. And it happens to us in the church as well. Let's look at another scripture. 1 Peter, one from Peter himself, after he got straightened out. He said this, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. That's why we put in the little song I sang. This one, humble yourself. That's what Peter said. Peter said, I've learned something. To humble myself, that God really loves me. He forgives me. And I humble myself before Him. Don't be full of pride. Say you love Jesus more than other people. This is why Peter felt so unworthy, so guilty, so ashamed, so dirty. Why? Because he said he loved people more than love Jesus more than people did. Now, here's something else I want to notice about this passage. Jesus dealt with him publicly. He dealt with him publicly. How would you like that to happen? Say. He dealt with him publicly. Here's the disciples. They've had the fish fry. Now, that was fun. This was fun. Okay? But now Jesus gets him one-on-one. He's still in earshot, so he's dealing with him publicly. Why did Jesus deal with him publicly? Next. Not to embarrass him. He didn't do this to embarrass him, but to empower him. To empower him. He didn't put him down. He was helping him. He was helping heal him. And Jesus wants to do that to you today. I don't know if you're with me. I bet you somebody's with me today. Because I've got to believe in this building today, there's some people that's feeling guilty today. You're feeling dirty. You're feeling soiled. You're feeling scarred. You're feeling ashamed of something that's happened in your life. And I don't know if all of you are with me, but I got a strong feeling some of you are. Amen? So you hang in here. Come on now. He didn't want to embarrass him, but he wanted to empower him. Dealing with your failures and things that's dogging your heels. Listen, when you deal with that, Jesus didn't want to embarrass you. He wants you to get beyond that so he can empower you. But it might feel embarrassing. But he wants to empower you. Keep that thought in mind. Let's keep moving. Something's very important. Jesus never doubted Peter loved him. Jesus never doubted that Peter loved him. In this passage, you're going to see in just a second. He says, "Do you love me, Peter?" Then he asked him again, "Do you love me, Peter?" Then he asked him again, "Do you love me, Peter?" He denied him three times. He asked him three times. "Do you love me? Do you love me?" Then, you know, but Jesus wasn't doing that because he wasn't secure in his love that Peter had for him. Jesus is very secure, okay? You don't have to worry about it. He's created the world. He's okay. All right? But he didn't say this to somehow, "Oh, Peter, do you love me? Will you please tell me you love me? Oh, Peter, do you love me?" I had a little event. I told Roger the other day, I can't get into the whole event. But I went to this house. It was probably 3 or 4 years ago. And I'll tell the story later in full detail sometime. That was probably 6 or 8 years ago. And the guy called me in the middle of the night and said his wife was demon-possessed. "How'd you like to get a call at midnight saying, come to my house?" And believe it or not, there was even a full moon. But I went, dumb old me, I went, right? But anyway, long story short, I ain't going to get the whole thing, but she had beat the, excuse the word, snot out of this guy. And she was just a little thing. I mean, I got there, he was scratched up, and he was a big guy. He won't know way to explain it. But I wasn't laughing either. I'm just over looking back now. But anyway, so I get in there, tough story, dealt with it, and I'll tell you some other time about it. But anyway, about midway through, this lady changed from this one person to another person, personality-wise. And she leaves the room and goes into another room, in a bedroom. And I'm just standing, I was in the living room, and I'm sort of at the bedroom door, and I'm looking. And she goes and sits on this bed. And then he gets down. He goes in there, gets on his knees. And it just reminds me of this. He said, "Do you love me? Please tell me you love me. You love me." And I'm standing at the door going, "You're in that." That's really not what you need to be saying right now. You know what I'm saying? And I know that might not make sense to the message, but I had to say it. That's what I think of. Jesus was not saying this to Peter because he needed to hear that Peter loved him. Jesus knew that Peter loved him. He never doubted that Peter loved him. But watch it. Peter doubted how much he loved Jesus. You ever been there before, son? Been there before? Where you doubted? That I know we say it sometimes, "I doubt that God even loves me," or God. But what we're saying, really, I think, is we know God loves us. Come on.
Yeah.
But we're really saying, I don't know if I love God. I think that's where Peter was at. Exactly. And that's what happens when you're feeling dirty and scarred. Let's keep moving. He had been forgiven, but he had not forgiven himself. He'd been forgiven, but not forgiven himself. Listen, friend, forgiving yourself doesn't get you to heaven. Getting the forgiveness of Jesus Christ for your sins and believing in Him, that's what gives you eternal life.
Amen.
But I tell you what, forgiving yourself for sins committed and things you've done wrong, listen, it is the key to being restored and having power in your life again. Are you hearing me? It is the key to being able to walk this life with your head up again. Not full of yourself, but full of the glory and forgiveness of God. And that's what Peter needed. And so Satan attacked him in this area. How many, be honest, let's see a raise of hands. How many Satan's attacked you in this area in your life? When you've been guilty, felt dirty, felt stained? Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Isn't that true? And that's what was happening. Let's keep moving. Jesus was restoring Peter to leadership and to service. See, Peter was the rock, man. We could flip the page real easy from 21 of John to Acts. And then two chapters later, Peter's preaching and he's on fire for God and thousands get saved. Isn't that phenomenal? But he had to have this experience first. If you're going to experience the power of God in your life, you've got to be able to let go of the past. The past failures that you feel.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they don't come up in your mind. Those things are happening. It happens. But you got to know that you're forgiven of God. He loves you today. He does, my friend. John 21:15. Here we go again. At the end, he said unto him, "Feed my lambs." Now, this is really important. We're wrapping up, so hang in here with me. We're getting close here. He said, "Feed my lambs." He said to Peter, "Do you love me, Peter?" And Peter said this, "Yes." Okay? He said, "Yes, I love you." And then here's what Jesus said, "Then do something. Do something. Feed my lambs." And this is the part I want you to see. The Lord just gave this to me in my office. It ain't anything fancy, but it blessed my heart. Here it is. "You're doing this for me," Jesus said. "I accept you working for me. I accept you working for me." Isn't that good right there? Sometimes we don't accept ourselves working for Jesus Christ. But listen, if we just shut up, hush, He accepts us working for Him. Isn't that good? He says, "Boy, feed my lambs. Because guess what? You're doing this for me."
Amen.
"And I'm the boss man."
Good.
"And I don't care what other disciples say about you. I don't care what anybody else says about you. Let me tell you something. You're doing this for me, and I accept your word." Let's look at it. Keep going. It gets a little quick right here. Verse 16, he said to him again a second time, "Simon, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said to him, "Feed my sheep." He's a little bit bigger than lambs. "Feed my sheep." Here we go. He says, "Do you love me, Peter?" Review time. What did he say? "Yes." Then look at this. "Then do something." Do what? "Feed my sheep." And then what does he say? Look at it. Can you say this with me? Come on, help me here. "You're doing this for me." Say this part right here. "I accept you working for me." Don't you think that had to make Peter feel good? You know what I'm saying? A little bit. To hear that Jesus wants me to do something? I'm a failure. What can I do? Finally, look at this though. Gets on Peter's nerves a little bit. He's feeling a little shaky here. Feeling a little grieved. He said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said it the third time. I got to be thinking, he denied him three times and it's just coming back. The old cock's crowing. Here we go. Peter was grieved because he said, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, you know that you know all things." But a light went on. A light went on. "Lord, you know all things. You know all things." Isn't it funny how sometimes... Isn't it funny how Jesus Christ's blood can save us from a devil's hell, but He can't save us for that stupid mistake we made after we became a Christian? Listen, Jesus knows how powerful His blood is.
Yeah.
Jesus knows He can forgive you. He knows everything. And He says this, "If you know everything, then you know I love you." And Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." Okay? Finally, let's look at it. He said, "Do you love me, Peter?" Peter said what? "You know I love you." Boom. "You know everything." Got the phone off. "You know I love you." All right? "You know I love you." Now watch this. Watch this. This is really important. We're to the end. Here we go. Watch it. Peter said, say it with me. "Now I know that you know that I love." One more time. This is good. This is the key to the whole message today. If you don't get anything else, this is it right here. "Now I know that you know that I love you." You can charge hell with a water pistol if you get that today. Jeremy, you can do it. If you know that He knows that you love Him, then who gives a hoot what anybody else says? Say.
That's good.
Who gives a hoot? Now, I know when we make mistakes, our testimony can get damaged. I understand that. But how long are you going to keep wallowing in that mess? If people are going to hold that against you forever, they're not real true brothers and sisters in Christ anyway, as far as I'm concerned.
Good.
How can we say we love our brother? How can we say we love God when we don't love our brother?
Yeah.
The Bible says we're to go to those that have fallen and to restore them and to lift them up.
Amen.
So don't wallow in that mess any longer. Look, if you know that He knows that you love Him, there's some healing going on. Some good things can happen. My boat, this vessel. No matter what has happened, here's a couple of verses. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Watch this. If we're sincere asking for forgiveness, then we're forgiven. Here's some other scriptures. Psalms 103, 2. As far as the east is from the west, Terry sang about it. So far has he removed our transgressions from us.
Good.
Look at this one. Isaiah 118, come, now let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as wool. God wants you to know that when he forgives you, you're clean. You can serve him. So important today. Being forgiven and really knowing you're forgiven are two different things. Being forgiven and really knowing you're forgiven are two different things. Did you hear me? Being forgiven and really knowing you were forgiven are two different things. You need to know that you're forgiven. You need to tell the devil, you are a jerk. I have been forgiven. Get out of my face. I hate your guts.
Good.
You know, Jesus Christ's blood has forgiven me. I know that might sound crazy talk, but you start talking like that, I guarantee you're going to start to feel clean. In the power of Jesus Christ.
Good.
Finally, we can learn from the veteran David. David actually committed adultery with a woman, had her husband killed, and God forgave him. I hate to ask you, but how many committed adultery and killed somebody because I'm scared a hand will go up. Okay, stop. Right there. All right, here we go. But here's what he said. Here's what he said. Here's what happens when you sin, even though you're sorry. Here's what happens. He says, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, of your salvation. Uphold me with your free spirit, that I can teach transgressors their ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You know the best teachers on the forgiveness and grace of God are those that have failed. Those that have messed up. And they can say, I understand. I did that. I felt just like you're feeling. But guess what? I've experienced the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, and God loves you today.
Amen.
You can't overcome. You can't overcome today. In the power of Jesus' name, His blood. John 21:17, He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved. We read all that, etc. And let's keep moving. Jesus blew Peter's mind next. We're finishing up this passage. A little long today. Sorry about that. He immediately went from living to dying. Isn't that funny? Look. Jesus talked to Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And then look at this verse. Verse 18. He said, verily I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself. You walked whither you would. But when you're old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Keep listening. This spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had thus spoken, he said to him, follow me. See, he blew Peter's mind. Peter was all consumed with his past failures. Jesus wanted to get him to living for him. And then all of a sudden, he started talking about how you're going to die for me. We get hung up on our past and our problems more than Jesus does. If they're forgiven, they're forgiven. Now go on and live for them. You hear me say? And Jesus went right on and started talking to him about how you're going to be crucified and you're going to glorify me in your death. Tradition, not the Bible, tradition says Peter was actually crucified how? Upside down for his Lord. Finally this morning, I keep saying finally, make it a goal to glorify Jesus Christ in both your life and your death. Philippians, according to my earnest expectation, my hope that nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Say this little part with me. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He moved Peter right out of his mess, right into living for him. Right, man, you're going to die for me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How about you today? Let go of your past failures today. Live for Jesus Christ. Die for Jesus Christ. Instead of hanging on to your past failures, why don't we work on 2 and 3? Amen? Because you don't know when you're going to die, so you better live for them today, and then you can die for them. Amen? But if you live in your past failures, you ain't going to live for them, you ain't going to die for them. That's country talk, but it'll sink in. It'll work. Come on. Here we go. Finally. Get back on board, friend. This is our boating series. Get back on board. It ain't your boat. It's His vessel. Stay on board. Here it is. Down board. Down ship. Amen. Sucker goes down. I'm going down with you, Jesus. Come on. Have that kind of confidence today, dear great God. Jesus forgives you, friend. He forgives you today. He accepts you working for Him. Did you know that? Can you say that one more time? Say me. He accepts me working for Him. This is the God of heaven. One more time. He accepts me working for Him. Wow. Phenomenal. Fine. Look at those old broken pots. Jesus uses what? Broken things. That's what he uses, isn't it? We want it new. That's fine. I'll take that old broken thing, he says. He uses that. And I love this. Used to be an old song. Right here. Pop it up there. He doesn't throw the clay away. Isn't that great? God is your potter. You're the clay. Can you say that with me when we're done this morning? He doesn't throw the clay away. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for this.